And on top of that, you probably know we're going to talk some football right now. We are joined by somebody who played 7 years in the NFL, an NFL analyst, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Westwood One, and CBS Sports Network broadcaster. Follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Big fan of my front page story. He is Ross Tucker. Ross, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, fantastic, man. Always good to talk with you.
You too, Ross. Thanks so much. Listen, I want to start with you on something a little bit different this time. A lot I want to get to, but let's start with the fact that over the weekend, you participated in the Cleveland Virtual 5K, and the reason you did so was to raise money for the Concussion Legacy Foundation. I want to ask you about this because I've never seen – you've never done anything quite like that before. What inspired you to do it this time?
Yeah, you know, I almost feel bad about it, Jim. I've never really tried to raise money for a charity or a good cause on my own. You know, every time I get an email from a buddy or a buddy's wife and they're doing something, I always donate $100 or whatever. I think like a lot of people do. But recently I was talking with Chris Nowinski, who I played against. He was a Harvard D lineman. He's the head of the Concussion Legacy Foundation. And really, if you've ever seen anything like on HBO or any TV shows or whatever, Chris is the guy that's in charge of doing unbelievable work. And he reached out. He said, listen, it's virtual. You don't have to be in Cleveland. You really just need to do the 5K. The key is going out and actually getting some people to donate some money. And, you know, Jim, it's a cause that's near and dear to my heart because I know some guys are starting to have some cognitive issues. You never know what could happen to me down the line. And Chris is, I mean, he's changing the world. I guess I felt like the least I could do was help him raise some money while he's in the process of changing the world and making it a better place. So we're able to raise a decent amount of money. I think, you know, $6,500, something like that. So I was really happy to help.
Good for you. So let me ask you really quickly, Ross, to your point, you're a young guy. So what's it like for you to see people you know dealing with these issues?
Well, you know, to be fair, most of the guys I know that are dealing with the issues are guys that are older than me. It seems like in their 60s, some in their 50s. So I don't know that any of us, there's a lot of factors, right? So we know that repetitive hits to the head over time, it's not a good thing. It's been described to me as sort of like smoking cigarettes where, you know, there's people that can smoke a pack a day and they never have an issue. There's people that smoke, you know, one cigarette a day, they end up getting lung cancer. So you don't really know how it's going to manifest itself in you individually. But, you know, we see Tunch Ilkin, the voice of the Steelers, has ALS. Steve McMichael has ALS. A lot of these guys are early 60s. You know, I'm 42, and I don't know, I told my wife, let's plan on having an awesome 20 years. I don't exactly know what's going to happen after that. But certainly it seems like, you know, a lot of these guys start to have issues in their early 60s. And it is scary because it's kind of the unknown. And, you know, I have short arms, Jim, but a big head, as you know. I use my head a lot. Like, I headbutted dudes all the time. When I went up to a linebacker, the first thing I would do was headbutt the guy to kind of make him blink. But back then, from, you know, 12 years old to 2008, you know, my seventh year in the NFL, you know, we just didn't know what we didn't know at that point. So, look, that's nothing I can do about that now. What I can do is I can walk around a track 12 and a half times to raise some money for the Concussion Legacy Foundation so they can continue the advanced research. And they're getting real close to being able to diagnose CTE in living people, which would be huge.
Ross Tucker joining us. Ross, I so appreciate your thoughts on that. And I know the listeners are like, okay, yeah, we got it, Rome. Can you move on to football? And yes, I could. But I do want to follow up on something you just said. When you said to your wife, hey, listen, you know, I'm 41, early 40s. Let's have an amazing 20 years. Like, what was her response to that?
She understands. She's aware enough of the potential issues that she's aware that, and she's talked with some other wives, and so she's aware that, you know, at some point there could be issues. You know, we're obviously hoping that there's not, but she's aware that that's a possibility, and so I just I think she appreciates and understands why I really want to max out our next 20 years, whatever that means, right? Whatever, you know, we all in life have a certain amount of quality time left. I don't care if you're 85 years old, 75, 65, 55, whatever. I just want to make the most of that quality time left. And by the way, Jim, like, let's just say I get to 62 and I'm having no issues and I'm totally fine. And hopefully that's the case. I'll still be happy I tried to max out the 20 years
you
before.
Bet.
I mean, that's how everybody
we all should.
Anyway.
We all should. Exactly, Ross. And I appreciate your thoughts on that. And we all should. We should all be trying to max out whatever time we have left because, not to be morbid, but I don't care whether you play in the NFL or not. We never know when it's our time. We should try to max out every single day, every single hour, and make it our best day and live our best life, of course. But I do appreciate your thoughts on that a lot, Ross. Ross Tucker joining us. All right, Ross, let me move on to some football. You recently spoke to Matt Nagy, and you talked with him about the selection of Justin Fields. What did he tell you about the process of drafting Fields?
Well, what I thought was most interesting, Jim, is, you know, there became this whole narrative about Fields leading up to the draft where a lot of people in the media would say, I have no idea why he's falling. Like, well, why is he falling? I don't understand. There's nothing wrong with him. He's a great prospect. And look, he's a really good prospect. But I asked Matt Nagy about the Indiana and Northwestern games. Because those are the games that people brought up a lot. You know, when you talk to people who actually studied the tape, those are the games that they brought up, and he acknowledged it. I mean, he said, listen, those are the games that people bring up. He took some sacks, had some interceptions, some decision-making. You know, he spun it into a positive and discussed how Justin was able to handle that adversity. The way he conducted himself on the sideline, Ohio State still won those games, and obviously it didn't really dissuade Matt Nagy. They traded up to get him at number 11. Bears fans are excited, and they should be. But it's just, to me, it was like, here's the guy that loves him so much, he traded up to get him, and he even acknowledges the guy had two bad games. So people are like, why wasn't he the next quarterback drafted? Well, you know, we know what Trevor Lawrence is, Jim. And then, look, I mean, if Zach Wilson had almost a perfect year. I mean, he had almost a perfect season. Mac Jones had almost a perfect season. Trey Lance didn't play. So you have Lawrence's, you know, the guy we talked about for 3 years. You had two guys almost threw a perfect game this past season. You had another guy that didn't play. You know, out of the five guys, Fields is like the only one that, you know, showed a couple of flies in the ointment, so to speak, last season.
We're talking to Ross Tucker. I agree with that. I think that makes sense to me. I think the guy's got tremendous upside. I'm really excited to see how he does, but I think it's fair to question, you know, like what was going on? Why did he drop? Well, there might be your answer. Now, you also made a really interesting point last week, Ross, about the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. And you said that if the Eagles were to go 9-8 this season, for instance, you don't know that they'll get the clarity that they might be looking for from Hurts. Lay this out for me. I mean, like, what does he have to do and what kind of a season do they have to know that this is, in fact, the guy going forward?
Well, it's funny because I went on a show and they were asking me after the Eagles' schedule came out, because I do the Eagles' preseason games, what I thought their record might be. And I think, you know, we went through it game by game, and it ended up the Eagles being 9-8, which I think is realistic, by the way. I mean, there's a lot of people out there because of, you know, trading Wentz, et cetera, that feel like the Eagles are going to have a really bad year. I mean, Jim, they're pretty good up front, both sides of the ball. They clearly are not conceding anything. I mean, they signed Ryan Kerrigan today, a 32-year-old DN to a one-year deal. You don't do that if you don't think you have a shot to win your division. And, it, you know, look, as good as Carson was his first 4 years, that's how bad he was last year. So my point, Jim, was if Hurts is just like the 25th best quarterback in the NFL, maybe even 28th, I think the Eagles are a 500 team, maybe a little bit better than that. Wentz was arguably the worst quarterback in the NFL. I mean, the most sacks, the most picks. If Hurts just doesn't do that, the Eagles could have a very solid season. The issue I feel like, though, Jim, is if he has a very solid season, then what do the Eagles do? Right? Like, if he plays great and they know he's the guy, then they know he's the guy. That's awesome. If he plays poorly and they know he's not, that's why they very likely have three first-round picks and they can do, you know, they got a lot of flexibility to get a franchise quarterback next year. If they go 8-9, 9-8, and he plays pretty good, shows some improvement, it's almost like it might put them in a tough spot if they're in no man's land, right? Like right in the middle like that. Might put him in an interesting spot there.
Hey, Russ, I can guarantee one thing, and you're right. You lay out a scenario where what if this happens or what if that happens. I can guarantee something that's not going to happen. They're not going to be a 500 football team. Like, how weird is that to say, what if they're 9-8? Isn't that a weird thing to say?
You know what's so funny? When I that tweet that you referenced when I said that the Eagles, you know, I think they'll go 9-8. I saw multiple replies from people. It was like a local sports talk station, right? Local sports news station. I saw multiple replies to people saying, did the NFL add a 17th game?
Right.
It's so funny, Jim, because you and I do this every day, right? So we've talked about the 17th game a lot. There's a lot of people, and I would include, Jim, some of my buddies. You know, my buddies love the Eagles. My buddies love the NFL. But they really just watch the games on Sunday during the season. You know what I mean? Like, they got jobs. They got kids. You know, they're into the Sixers being the number one seed right now. There are people that watch most of the Eagles games or most NFL games. They legitimately don't even know that there's 17 games yet.
Like, so
that,
funny.
That is, I find that fascinating. I would love to know, you know, out of the 120 million people that watch the Super Bowl, right, how many of them don't know that the NFL added a game?
All of them.
I mean, a lot of them don't.
Most of them. All of them. Everybody except like the 30 people we know who host shows and podcasts. Yeah, it's really funny. It really is. And really quickly, Ross, like the NFL schedule dropped last week. When you were playing, how much did it matter who you were playing and where and when you were playing them? Like, you know, it's become like this cottage industry right now. But as a player, how important was it to you when that thing dropped and how closely did you look at it?
It's so funny that you say that because I literally had Warren Sharp from Sharp Football on the Ross Tucker podcast today, and he's the best guy in terms of breaking down the schedule when he says the Bears play six teams with extra rest, other teams play zero. I mean, he's got it down to a science. Jim, we never talked about any of that.
Right.
I never heard any of that. You know what I would look at? I would look at when the bye week was. And then if there was a Thursday night game or whatever, back then we played Thanksgiving, I'd look for that because I wanted to know what weekend I had off to see if I could go back home to high school game or my college alma mater. We never looked at it. You know, you might glance at when the primetime games. Jim, you know this, and this will blow some of your listeners away. When it's week three during the NFL season, okay, at least half the players on the team do not know who the team plays week five. They do not know. They don't. I mean, they could look it up, but if you ask them, like if you got a guy, you should try that next year, like during the season. Get a guy on like in week six, and just for the heck of it, be like, hey, who do you guys play in 3 weeks? He'll be like, he will not know. Because once you get into it, you don't look ahead like that. You don't even care.
I mean, like, Ross, is it because guys are oblivious and they're not tactical and they're maybe not as professional? Or is it because coaches are constantly hammering into their heads, hey, man, you know, stay in the process, stay in the moment, be present, be where your feet are? Is it anything about that or guys just don't really know and really don't care?
Well, so the fans, right, the fans need to buy the hotel room or they need to know what tickets they're going to use. They need to get the logistics. Like, there are no logistics
right.
for a player. You you take the team plane to the game and you play. So they don't need to worry about it. Yes, I think part of it is the coach. But the first game is the only one the coaches ever talk about. It's the only one you point to. You do know who the opener is. And you'll have a buddy of yours text you and be like, hey, that Dallas game on Monday night, November, is going to be sweet. And you'll be like, you'll give him a thumbs up emoji text back. Just to end the conversation, because like you're like, yeah, bro. Like, what are you supposed to say to that, right?
I love that.
But it doesn't really matter. It just like, and maybe part of it, Jim, was because I was always battling either for a roster spot or a starting spot. But even the start, like, I mean, you would just be amazed. Like, even, like, the guys that are stars, they just don't really care that much or look at it. It's not productive. It's not conducive to success looking ahead later on in the year. You know, what's conducive to success is what you do every day on your show, which is you grind and you dominate. That's the same thing that players do. Like, they're concerned. Like, if I was a player today, I'd be concerned about my inside hand against the bull rusher. Like, that's what matters. Getting better with my inside hand against the bull rusher, who we play, you know, playing Cleveland in week 10 is the least of my concerns.
It's amazing. What a great analysis that was. Ross Tucker joining us. Like, I'm already late. I'm already getting heat and pressure from the guys across the glass, whatever. And really quickly, what's more offensive? The thumbs up sign where a guy effectively is saying, hey, man, I don't want to talk to you, or no response where you can at least pretend like they didn't see it?
No, thumbs up is fine, because thumbs up's like, okay, he's not that into it, but like at least he replied to me. The no reply thing, I think I've never been a no reply guy. I think it's so disrespectful. Like, you got the text, bro. And don't come back at me with, you're too busy. You think you're busier than me? You think you're busier than me? I mean, like, everybody's busy. You just don't care enough. So, no, thumbs up is fine. It is what it is. At least there is an acknowledgement, like, yeah. What else am I supposed to say to that? Like, okay, yeah, he acknowledged it. The no reply is unbelievably disrespectful in my mind.
I think you're right, Ross. There's not an appropriate response by you, but any kind of response other than the thumbs up is you've opened up the door and now it's a, quote, conversation, and you don't want that. I hate to do it, Ross. You and I could do this for hours, and I wish we could, but, well, you know, Ross, you're in the business now. Man, there are clocks. My man, really appreciate you. Great talking to you, Ross. And be sure, everybody, check out my front page story. He is an NFL analyst. Check him out at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, what can I say, man? You're the best. Thanks so much, dude.
Guess what, Jim? That was awesome. Nobody else would do the research you and your crew did about the charity and what I did over the weekend. And then ask the follow-up questions like you did. That was awesome. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks so much, Ross. I've got an amazing staff. I have an amazing staff. Here's how it goes. I have an amazing crew, and secondarily, I have an amazing pair of ears. I listen. And a natural curiosity.